Good evening, listeners, and welcome to the live final episode of Fringe Power, or F to the power of four. I haven't really thought about how I should say that actual name out loud. But Fringe Power, this is Fringe Radio. We've been running weekly for the last 3 weeks right here on Local 107.3 FM, featuring a variety of performers who are taking the stage, various stages, such as they are, because we have various stages at our disposal here, at the upcoming Fundy Fringe Festival, August 21st to 25th. And I have a number of guests here today. We've got a whole pile of folks coming into the booth. We're going to have the Silk Purse Atlantic Theater, represented by Mr. Ken Bolton. We'll have some folks from the Improvisation Corporation. We have Neanderthal Theater checking in with us at half past the hour. We will have someone from Interaction Theater later on in the show, I believe. And firstly, we have calling us from Toronto, Ontario, Mandy McLean, actor and co-author with Code White Theater. Originally hailing from New Brunswick, as I just learned, just speaking with her on the phone now. And we're going to go to her momentarily. Hopefully I don't cut her off. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Jed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm especially proud of the fact that I didn't cut you off on the phone. I use this phone connection in the booth every like 6 months or so and usually don't remember how to use it from time to time. So I'm really glad that you're here.
Good, I guess it worked. I guess you pressed the right button.
Success, I did. Well, and the fellow before me showed me how to do it. So that's very helpful and shameful considering I work here. So. Anyway, so you guys are, you're calling me from Toronto, but you just told me before I started the show that you actually are from New Brunswick. Tell us a little bit about that. I had no idea. I completely overlooked that in my research for the interview.
Oh, that's okay. I'm actually, Matthew and I are both from New Brunswick. We both, I'm from Fredericton and Ormocto, and Matthew is from St. John and KB, and we both actually went to university. I went to UNB in Fredericton, and Matthew went to St. Thomas, and that's kind of how we met.
Oh, cool.
And then we both moved to Toronto to, you know, chase the dream of being a theater person, and then we got some formal training under our belts in theater school, and then we've both since finished school, and now we're trying to do it, and we're coming home to do a show.
Very good. Cool. How does it feel to be bringing the show back to this neck of the woods?
It's terrifying and exciting and all of that wrapped into one.
There you go.
It's a project we've been working on for, I guess, 2 years now, ever since I was in my last year of school. And it's had a couple of showings here in Toronto. It had a two-week showing last year. Hmm. So, and then this is just, I guess, another stepping stone on the process of figuring out what this story is about and what direction we want to take the piece in.
Excellent. And now, and you mentioned the show, it sounds like the show has had some changes made to it. In particular, this summer, I read that some elements of it were under development. You're revisiting how you wanted to perform it. How are you approaching the show this summer?
Well, it originally started as a piece that I worked on at school in my final year. It's kind of my final cumulative project of my training. Mm-hmm. It was, at that time, it was about 15-20 minute long piece, and then for the first kind of accumulation of development, we did it as a site specific piece inside of a bra store, like a formal lingerie shop here in Toronto as part of the Fringe Festival here last year.
Oh, cool.
So it was a site specific piece, and like obviously very influenced by the setting of being in this really, really high end lingerie store. So we decided that in order to further develop the piece, we wanted to kind of bring it into a stage, mm-hmm. and inside of it in a traditional stage setting. And so we took the story from the bra store and kind of pulled it apart and took what we wanted and threw out what we didn't want it and killed our babies. And then we started, you know, with a fresh perspective and put it on a traditional stage and wanted to see what happened. So it's got some of the old material and some new original material, and it's, you know, one step further on just figuring out exactly what this story is about.
Yeah, well, and so this is for folks who may not be familiar with it. yourself and your partner in theater, Matthew Hines, are bringing with Code White Theater, are bringing that boob show to the Funny Fringe Festival. It's a one-woman performance, but co-written between you both and directed by Matthew. How does that process work together, and especially considering the evolving sort of state of the production?
Well, Matthew and I created the initial piece in the final year of my training, and then for the first couple showings here in Toronto about a year ago, we kind of co-created the full narrative and, like, the fuller storyline and fleshed it out together. And he directed me in the piece. And then here for this version of the show, of the script that I guess will be performed in St. John, I've done most of the writing, and Leah Holder has actually acted as a dramaturge to the piece.
Oh, cool.
So our rehearsals are usually a lot of, you know, sitting at a kitchen table with pencils and pieces of paper, and sometimes those pieces of paper get thrown at each other, and there's usually a lot of Post-its involved, and, like, my apartment's got, like, a wall full of Post-it notes right now that are just kind of multicolored and pointing in different directions and acting as a storyboard. So it's, I guess there's no real, like, method to the madness. It's more so, like, is this working? Okay, if it's not working, let's throw it in the trash can and get a new Post-it.
There you go. Well, it sounds like quite a dynamic piece, and I liked the sort of one of the phrases you guys use in kind of expressing what your company is all about is that you're looking to create theater with an alarming and aggressive stir. It certainly sounds like that's the case. How do you go about creating theater with an alarming and aggressive stir?
Well, I think our original desire to start, I guess, a producing company is the intention behind it, was to create opportunities for other emerging artists like ourselves. And I think it kind of came out of a place of frustration and feeling as though, and I think that's kind of, that lends itself really well to the piece to that boob show, actually, and talking about how in life we always feel like we're in a period of transition. You know, finishing school, you feel like you're in this transitional space where, you know, you need the experience to get ahead, but, like, if you don't have the experience, you can't get ahead, and you're in kind of this catch-22 cyclical cycle that just, you know, you don't really know where to go. So I think our intention in starting a group of people that, you know, had a common ground and a common relationship to the work, that we wanted to get together and kind of work from this space of all being in the same mindset, and give each other an opportunity to do work and to do really good work with respect, and work that we, you know, really valued, and also work that we felt proud of and that we felt like we could share with our peers and those that, you know, just happen to be 10 years further down the road in their careers than we are.
Yeah. Well, and what kind of work is the production you guys are bringing to the Fringe Festival? What kind of, what's it sort of discussing, and if it is discussing anything, what kind of conversation is it having?
That boob show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you had to classify it, it would be a comedy.
Okay.
A light-hearted comedy. A romp is the word that we've used a couple of times.
There you go. Everyone likes a good romp.
A good romp, similar to a roast. but what's it discussing? It's discussing, I think I mentioned a second ago, that in life you're always looking forward to what's happening next, and you're always moving forward in this direction, and I think that at least my life and where I am as an artist, and where I think, you know, and Matthew and I share a common ground in this, that we're always looking forward. And in order to move forward in life, it's often, you know, sometimes it's hilarious and sometimes it's awkward and sometimes it's really painful and sometimes it's so much fun. But, like, it's always something. You're always moving forward. And that transitional space is so interesting and engaging to both be in and to move past and then look back at, you know. So if I'm, you know, I'm 26, so I happen to be 26 right now, and Matthew's turning actually 27 while we're there. So, you know, we often go, like, oh, do you remember when we were, like, 20 and how, like, stupid we were? and then the other day we were like, oh man, I wonder what's going to happen when we're 40. And we look back at when we're, like, 26 and 27, and, like, we're going to go, oh, how stupid we were. Oh, like, wow.
We were putting on those crazy plays.
What were we thinking?
There you go.
You know, and I think that no matter what age you are, you always do that. And in life, you're always looking, looking towards something. It's like, oh, when we, you know, when I'm a real person, or oh, when I have a baby, or oh, when I'm, you know, have a house, or when I have a real job, or when I'm an adult. And like, and it often going towards those stations, I guess, those markers are incredibly painful and sometimes just ridiculous and sometimes hilarious. And how when you look back at where you once were, it's often really funny and, like, you know, sometimes really embarrassing and sometimes really sad and hard, and it's just heartbreaking. And about how, yeah, I think that that's a conversation that we're starting to explore in the piece. And I think because this is a project that's under development, so I think that, you know, as we get feedback from audiences in St. John, we'll be able to take that conversation one step further.
Wonderful. I hope you guys get some excellent feedback. It sounds like it's going to be a great show. I know everyone's really looking forward to the first Fringe Festival here in town.
Yeah, we're really excited too. We were like, wow, that's awesome. Excellent. Let's go. I wonder if we'll get in.
Well, you did. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I think we're probably about up for time now.
For sure.
Yeah, but thank you so much, Mandy, for joining us. I've been speaking with Mandy McLean, actor and co-author in That Boob Show, coming to St. John's Fundy Fringe Festival from Code White Theater.
Thank you, Dad. You have a wonderful night.
Great. Thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to a quick song now for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of it being National Acadian Day. And because our house band for the show thus far has been Montreal's The Kingpins, we're going to hear a little classic slice of Québécois ska music with a little gender switch from Simon to Manon. This is The Kingpins with Manon Viendelse Le Ska on Fundy Fringe Festival, or Fringe Power Local 107.3 FM.
C'est le ska, montre-moi le nouveau pas. Y'a personne qui bouge comme toi. Manon, viens danser le ska. Manon, viens danser le ska. Montre-moi le nouveau pas. Y'a personne qui danse comme toi. Manon, viens danser le ska. Je connais une fille que j'aime bien. Elle est l'envie de tous les copains. Quand je la vois, j'ai le cœur qui bat. Dis Manon, viens lancer le ska. Manon, viens lancer le ska. Montre-moi le nouveau pas. Y'a personne qui bouge comme toi. Dis Manon, viens lancer le ska. Oui Manon, tu viens danser le ska. Alors montre-moi le nouveau pas. C'est ça Manon, alors tu viens me danser le ska. Et puis tu vas me montrer le nouveau pas. Yeah, yeah. J'ai mis une Pauline pour une cha-cha, la belle Janine pour une samba. Et maintenant pour la nouveau pas, c'est toi Manon, la reine du ska. Manon, viens lancer le ska. Montre-moi le nouveau pas. Y'a personne qui bouge comme toi. Dis Manon, viens lancer le ska. 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 Manon, on vient danser 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 le ska.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. You are listening to Fringe Power right here on Local 107.3 FM. And we have a booth full of thespians with us today. Perhaps you would each like to introduce yourselves for the listening audience.
My name is Ken Bolden. I have a nephew named Michael, but not the one you're thinking of.
Welcome to the show, Ken. Ken with Silk Purse Atlantic Theater joining us.
Oh, I'm Kate Elman-Wilcott, and I'm with the Interaction School of Performing Arts.
Very good.
And my name is Izzy Blizzard. I'm mayoral candidate, perennial Fifth Party mayoral candidate, Izzy Blizzard. Thank you for having me on the show.
Mr. Blizzard, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Are you in relation to the local Blizzards?
I am a local Blizzard, and I am running for mayor again. This will be the fifth time, perennial. I would like to get your vote. I would like to talk to you about the things that differentiate me and I can help move the city forward. And I'm very interested in hearing these other people's ideas and debating them live on the air about local politics.
Mr. Blizzard, is the shortage of an upcoming municipal election campaign something that you feel will threaten your success in running in this mayoral election?
You know, Jam, that's a good question. It's the barbecue circuit right now here in St. John. I was at a barbecue today. There was one being organized at the golf course here at Rockwood Park, and I showed up as a mayoral candidate early to discuss things with people. Some were very agitated that I had arrived, as I had not been invited, but I feel that the issues are here, they're now, and they need to be discussed.
I have one question I would like to ask you, Mr. Blizzard, and then I'm going to move on to our other guests.
I think that's fair.
Thanks, Mr. Blizzard. What do you feel about the issue of improvisational theater in town? In particular, are you familiar with Improvisation Corporation and the outlandish antics?
I know where this question is going, Jam. I feel, unlike our current mayor, Lackluster Mel. He says to tell him, I'm going to tell him, by the way, he stole that from me. It used to be, tell Izzy if you're dizzy about his ideas. And he shortened it and made it tell Mel. That's a long, and I almost won that election. I was in fifth, if you count the votes, fourth maybe. But I feel that his pro-improvisational stance is what is leading us down a pipeline away from the city, if you understand what I mean.
So what do you feel should be done about this Improvisation Corporation group coming to this Fundy Fringe Festival?
Sure. Do not attend their shows in great numbers.
Larry, you heard it here first from mayoral candidate Mr. Izzy Blizzard.
Thank you
so much. All right. Well, let's move over to our next mayor, or I mean our next actor here on this panel. And that's with the Code White Theater question sheet. There we go. Mr. Ken Bolton, who we also have here. Ken is coming to us with the Silk Purse Atlantic Theater Company, bringing your production of Place Setting. And you actually, there's an interesting connection. I'm going to jump straight to the human interest factor. You have not just a Fringe Festival performance coming up with your partner in theater, S.G. Lee, but this Fringe Festival is very special for the both of you on August 25th, in fact.
That's true, because at the Imperial Theater on August 25th at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, we will be getting married.
There you go.
To my director.
That's a gimmick. That's a gimmick to sell tickets. Mel Norton pulled that same gimmick on me. He got married during the campaign. It's all tricks to pull tickets.
Well, Mr. Blizzard, with all due respect...
There is none.
With all due respect, I would say if there are gimmicks, you would certainly know about that. I have not lived in St. John long enough, but I certainly hope I can get on the voters list so that I can take care of your problems.
You mean you'll be voting for me? Thank you very much.
Well, obviously... marriage is a partnership of paramount importance in a person's lives. You guys have been partners in theater for quite some time as well. Can you tell us a little bit about Silk Purse Atlantic Theater? I know SG, or should...
We just call her Lee.
Call her Lee? Okay,
yeah,
there
Lee,
you go.
Lee started a company in Vancouver called Silk Purse Theater.
Yeah.
And they did several fringe festivals in Vancouver and San Francisco, won a heap of awards. She's had a few other plays that have gone on to have fairly big productions, especially her musical called Larger Than Life. Mm-hmm. Then she went to Leeds in England and got her master's degree in theater and ended up here as executive director of the Imperial.
So she is...
And she started Silk Purse Atlantic as a sister company to her other one.
So Play Setting being described as a collaborative project for Silk Purse Atlantic Theater, she's clearly a very strong collaborator in the theater.
Yes, it's a collaboration in the sense that I wrote it and I'll be performing it. But frankly, without her vision and without her ability to make a visual metaphor work and work throughout the piece, it wouldn't be nearly as strong as it is.
What kind of production is Play Setting? What can folks expect coming to see that?
Well, we call it as a tragic comedy of manners. It involves, well, you have the information in front of you, that involves passion, betrayal, tableware, and a long-dead British poet.
The four greatest elements of all theater.
Indeed they are. It's a play, it's a love story. It's also a story about a man of my age, which I will admit is 70, who's a bit of a fuss budget, to use a word that my mother would have used. He's obsessed with doing things the correct way, with manners, with etiquette. He was in the diplomatic service for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, because he lived in a world of order all his life, it was only inevitable that just as he retires, he falls madly in love. Nothing can be the opposite of order so much as love.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Fringe Power on Local 107.3 FM in St. John, New Brunswick. And we have with us on the line Mr. David Etherington of Neanderthal Theatre. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. You guys are bringing a piece called It Trickles Down to the Fundy Fringe Festival, described as a feel-bad comedy dealing with some fairly apocalyptic municipal messes, Rosh, sewage, and all. It sounds like something that will likely hit home with St. John audiences.
I have very strong feelings about that play.
And you're debuting it here. And we also have a mayoral...
Mayoral candidate, fifth perennial running, Izzy Blizzard. Mayor Izzy Blizzard. You can call me mayor now. I will be winning it eventually.
So, Mr. Blizzard, meet Mr. Etherington.
Physically, or do you verbally?
Well, that's all right. Well, let's see what Mr. Etherington has here to say, and then perhaps you might like to rebut him.
I always would.
Mr. Blizzard is here in particular to discuss with us the pitfalls of improvisational comedy. So, I'm between you and me, David. I'm just going to ask you to bear with us on this guy.
Okay.
But where does this production come from? You guys both are hail from this neck of the woods. You're both Kingston Peninsula fellas, and I'm sure you know municipal messes are no stranger to folks living in the Maritime Provinces. Tell us a little bit about It Trickles Down, and all of this going on in the face of preparing for the annual Heritage Fair, something St. John audiences know very well, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, the play actually in Halifax, it was conceived of when Jake was visiting me up in Halifax. And we were walking around the downtown, and right now in Halifax, we're building this giant building called the Nova Center. But they haven't really gotten any building permits yet. And right now, it's actually just sort of a six-story hole in the middle of the downtown. So we were walking by, and we were like, what if we wrote a play about the complete failure of a municipality, kind of the way we saw Halifax at our time in the lovely HRM downtown? So we got writing, and originally it was sort of going to be about how they were digging underground, but then we kind of cut that. Now it's more about sort of a sewage and power failures. But the play is kind of about, one, how sort of sewage fails and it trickles down is sort of a play on words. So it's about how, you know, when those things go wrong, it affects sort of the most vulnerable in society. But then the comedy kind of comes from the fact that also, you know, when those mistakes are made, it generally affects the entry-level employees, which sort of Rick and Gerard are, the two main characters. Hmm. So the play is kind of about them being tasked with fixing up the entire city in a very short period of time.
That's quite a daunting task that these fellows are facing from the sounds of it.
Yes.
How does it feel, speaking of daunting tasks, how does it feel debuting the production back here in sort of your home neck of the woods?
Oh, we're very, very excited. We did a play last year in the Atlantic Fringe Festival, which was good fun, but we're really pumped to be back just across the river from our home and letting some of our fellow high school alumni and some of the people we worked with in high school and middle school theater see some of the work we're doing.
Cool. Kind of on that note, I'm actually a Kingston kid myself.
Name dropping.
Mr. Blizzard.
Name dropping. It's all about name dropping.
Look,
this little happy clan you two have going here of friends. I'm helping my friends. He's helping his friends. That's exactly why we're in the situation we're in now. Next thing,
it's why people from Kingston do so well in the world, you know? The second we see someone else from Kingston, interview's over, you got the job.
Oh, this is exactly what's led us into this mess. This Kingston mess, the highbrow Kingston attitude.
all the hoity-toity Kingston crowds.
I feel like being buried by a blizzard here. Is that possible?
What took you from the peninsula all the way to... now I'm drawing a blank. You guys are in Halifax right now. That's right.
I'm in Halifax. Jake's actually out of Fredericton. We both left. We both left for university, and we sort of went to our respective colleges. He went to St. Thomas. I went to King's. And then it was actually at about the time that we were both graduating that we decided we'd like to do work together, but we didn't want to move. So actually, our entire process that we're doing right now is being split between Fredericton and Halifax, where we've only met sporadically. So really, the whole show actually has to come together in about the next week or so when we meet back up in Kingston.
So how does, because that's something I found it interesting, you guys referred to yourselves as a sort of nomadic maritime theater company. How do you exist as a nomadic sort of roving duo in various towns and things like that?
Well, I mean, I think one thing is that we try and meet whenever we can on the weekend. Jake will drive up here, I'll drive down there. It actually kind of works really well because we've both sort of found, I think, a good theater niche in our two respective cities. So we're able to sort of get a good... I guess, set of Halifax eyes on the production, a good set of Fredericton eyes, and then bring those ideas together.
Excellent.
I think the nomads of the world are shaking their heads right now. Where is the trucking across the tundras? Where is the sleeping in animal skin tents? Where is the rehearsal among the animals? None of it. It is nomadic in name only, as is the show.
True, true. And I mean, to be fair, we have the luxury of a Tim Hortons double-double when we're traveling, so we hardly even notice.
There you go. Well, you'll definitely feel back at home here in St. John.
Yes.
Where you...
I noticed he said Halifax eyes and Fredericton eyes. Where are the Kingston eyes?
Well,
no answers. A stumbling response.
Are you addressing myself or Mr. Etherington, Mr. Blizzard?
I think we all know the answer to that.
No, we don't, actually.
Exactly. You don't know the answers to these obvious questions.
Are you trying to discredit the Kingston pedigree, Mr. Blizzard?
I'm just saying that here in the SJHG, and you may not be familiar with that with all of your HRM acronyms, but that's the St. John Happy Group, which is what we call the Quispam, Rosse, Grand Bay. What are the Kingston? Is that the other one?
Kingston, yeah.
Well, Mr. Blizzard's looking to Ms. Wilcott.
Yeah, the one nice thing about a nomadic thing, however, is you can shut it up occasionally.
Exactly. I actually should point out that Jake's actually not from Kingston. He's actually from Clifton Royal, which is a very
scandal. Scandal exposed.
That's true. It is
here live.
I'm refraining from addressing anything because I'm rather afraid of Mr. Blizzard.
Don't be afraid,
Mr. Blizzard. We're all
not voting for me.
We're all sitting here in fairly close confines with Mr. Blizzard. So I think, look, tensions are running high. Everyone, just let's calm ourselves.
I take up a lot of space. It's hard not to sit this close to me when I'm in a room. I will grant that.
I was just concerned because just before we came into the studio, Mr. Blizzard cornered me and demanded that I use the children in our theater school.
I pinned
school
you. It's called in mayoral talk, it's pinning.
It was pinning.
You pin the voter and pin them.
And I do have to see my chiropractor now tomorrow because of that. But he asked if, the children in our show do flash mobs door to door with him as he's.
Flash mobs.
And I had to say no because, really, Mr. Blizzard.
Well, Mr. Etherington, considering that you, I'm guessing you would be some kind of expert in a municipally themed theater, considering the production that you and Jake are bringing to town, what advice would you have for, considering your knowledge from the production, and without giving anything away, because, you know, people want to catch the show when they're in town, but from Neanderthal Theater to the office of Mr. Izzy Blizzard, what advice can you give him in his current campaign?
I'm building a platform right now, and I would be interested in these. I like the idea of dumping all the activities down to the lowest rung. In fact, one of my biggest campaign rungs, platform items, is that every week council will be switched with the 12 weakest individuals in our city and rotated regularly.
My advice would be, you know, democracy, freedom of speech,
nuts.
Shove all that. Help your friend.
There we go. Now, I'm connecting with this gentleman.
Do you feel like you have an understanding of where Mr. Etherington is coming better now?
I feel he's trickling down on me. Like, I'm lying under him, and he's trickling down on me with knowledge. And I like the feeling. It's like a shower of knowledge, and he's trickling it on me. Thank you for that. From the HRM to the SJHG.
You're very welcome. You guys need all the help you can get.
I hope that you'll support me in our building in our city of our new hobo center, which is what we're building, a huge center for hobos here, a center for hobo knowledge. I hope you'll support me in that in my next platform.
I'll do my best.
I'm going to assume your silence means yes. I'd also like to announce at this point, not to to steal into Ken's cheap gags of being married for things, but I will be marrying Kate Elman Wilcott during my next campaign.
So, Kate, will you be taking on the surname Kate Elman Wilcott Blizzard at that point?
I could. I was going to mention that, like Ken getting married the week of his production, tomorrow our cast actually travels to Fundy National Park to do our show away from here, and it's actually also my 16th wedding anniversary with the director of the production. So perhaps you'd like to challenge him to a cage fight or something over me, Mr. Blizzard. It might be an interesting...
It is 3 years until the next mayoral election. A lot of things can happen. Yep. Theater gets really rough. I've heard 16th. Ken, you can back me up on this. 16th anniversaries are known technically to be the most difficult. That is the tough year, as it's known.
I don't think any of my previous marriages have lasted quite that long, so I couldn't attest to it.
You said 16, and I saw a tear run down his face.
I'm sorry.
And I thought he has something to say on this, so beware. Beware of the 16, and beware of the power of my persuasion.
Beware of the Blizzard.
I will pin you.
Right. I would love to hear about what your theater company is doing.
I'm going to ask David one more thing while we have you on the phone, and thank you again, David, for calling us.
My pleasure.
You have some Fringe Festival background, am I correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is a new thing to St. John. It's even new to Mr. Blizzard here. And I think it's going to be a very exciting experience for the city. Fringe Festival's unjuried, uncensored, completely open access and affordable to the public, really bringing theater down to the community of all stripes. And I think it's going to be very exciting. Can you share with our listeners a favorite Fringe moment as an actor, as an audience member, just anything that really stands out to you as just a great Fringe moment that is the sort of thing people might hope to experience when it's here August 21st to 25th?
Yeah, well, actually, my university at King's College, the King's Theatrical Society, we did a Fringe Festival there before they threatened to sue us. We had to rename it an Infringement Festival.
Success achieved. Legal action.
Yeah, but my favorite moment actually ever was this guy who put all this work into sort of this touring group of shows all around the campus using all the different spaces. And, you know, the night ended up being a bit of a catastrophe because there was a blizzard. And then on top of that, he also fell through some risers and he broke his leg and he had to go to the hospital. But as he was leaving, he was smiling and giving a thumbs up going, you know, it's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be great. And I think that that's sort of an energy and a passion you only get in a Fringe.
How the reviews were terrible for the show.
Sounds a bit like your campaign.
Oh, thank you, Kate. There's a pin.
All right. Ow. Well, David, thank you for calling us. We've all been speaking with David Etherington of Neanderthal Theater, who's coming here with Jake Martin. They're staging It Trickles Down as part of the Fundy Fringe Festival. Do you have any parting words for our listeners or any parting advice for Mr. Blizzard and his campaign, David?
I'm also
listener. I just warn everyone that, you know, we're going to bring a new, young, energetic, ferocious energy. And again, thank you for having me on the show. These Kingston connections are really paying off.
There you go. The Kingston Peninsula gang has to stick
when
together.
When will the peninsula stop sticking it to St. John? Truly.
It's true. We're all driving into town, taking all of their jobs.
Immigration is a big problem. It's a big problem.
See you next week, David.
All right. Well, thank you, David. We'll see you next week. And
thank you very much.
Take care.
Safe nomading.
Take care.
All right, ladies and gents, we're going to go to another song, and then we'll come back and see what our panel of judges, I guess, for lack of a better word, have to say about the upcoming Fundy Fringe Festival. In particular, we're going to hear a word about the Interaction School. But first, we have a little number again from our house band of the series, the Kingpins. This is Don't Turn Away on Local 107.3 FM CFMH Fringe Power.
Don't turn away. No.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. We are here live on Local 107.3 FM. This is Fringe Power. This has been a four-part radio series here on Local FM, covering a majority, almost. We've had pretty much almost all of the artists from the Fringe Festival on at this point, I think. There's only one or two folks who I think haven't weren't able to get on the show. And that's unfortunate, but we are very lucky to have with us today. We've spoken with David Etherington from the Andrathal Theatre. We have spoken with Mandy McLean from Code White Theatre. And we are very lucky to have here in person with us right now, Mr. Ken Bolton of Silk Purse Atlantic Theatre, Kate Elman Wilcott from Interaction School of Performing Arts, and mayoral candidate Izzy Blizzard, who is really upset about the presence of so much improvisational comedy taking place at this year's Fundy Fringe Festival, in particular Improvisation Corporation, I'm sure, is a great bane.
A disgusting group of degenerates who will play five shows this week, I hear. With different musical artists.
There
each
you go.
A degenerate.
Each one more degenerate than the last.
We hope.
It sounds like, considering all the degeneracy going on at the Fundy Fringe Festival, it's nice to know that there is or will be an educational element, from what I understand, with the production that...
All about a war.
All about a war. There's nothing more educational than war, I'm sure.
Lots of fighting.
Tell us about the production, Kate, that the kids are bringing to the Fundy Fringe Festival.
Well, it was created by my partner, Mike Wilcott, along with a group of young actors last summer. And it was actually produced in conjunction with Parks Canada. They approached me about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, leading up to the War of 1812 anniversary, and asked if we'd be interested in putting together a show that would engage young audiences, but also teach about the War of 1812. So we created the show. It's very, very fun. It's very vaudevillian. Lots of there's eight actors in this particular production, and each one represents a different country, as well as the Atlantic Ocean. There's a character representing the Atlantic Ocean. Oh. And so last summer, they actually toured to St. Andrews, to the Blockhouse, to Fundy National Park, and they played the museum here and Martello Tower. And this year, they're doing that tour this weekend, and then they're doing the Fringe for St. John audiences, well, regional audiences, next week. So it's a lot of fun.
This is a fairly seasoned production at this point.
It is, yeah. And all of the actors are members of our advanced performance company, so they've been around for a long time. People will recognize them from things that we've done here in the city over the years.
Nice. Now, a lot of the productions Interaction does are, they're really quite complex. There's drama, there's singing, there's dancing, there's all kinds of moving parts going on.
This one has marching.
What's going on with this production?
It's presented as it, well. It was created as outdoor theater, and so with outdoor theater, you're performing with all of the elements around you. I mean, in St. Andrews last summer, it started off the first 5 minutes was beautiful, and then it started to rain, It was beautiful again right next to the sea over the course of 40 minutes. And there's people coming and going, people walking around, and so it's we knew it had to be a big show, so it's a very much a bigger, faster, funnier, but at the same time, poignant moments in the show. And it's done in a real... The full title is The War of 1812, a completely impartial and serious history. So it stays true to the history, and obviously we are talking about a war, so there was fighting and lots of things going on that were completely awful. But in order to engage the audience, and especially the kids, and make sure that it's something that they're going to be able to remember and feel connected to, it's done in a very energetic way.
Nice. And one of the...
You didn't interrupt me at all, Mr. Blizzard. I'm surprised.
I am against bringing children that close to the subject of war. I don't know. I'm not a professional educator, but I have run five times to become one. I just think it's disrespectful to the children. And such a long title. A long title. Very long.
Yeah. And what year was the War of 1812?
It happened between 1832 and 1874. Of course, sometimes wars are named more romantically than the actual times. It's part of the myth and mystery. For example, World War II, that actually happened in the 50s, but we liked the 40s more, so we put it there. It's a historical thing. I'm not a professional historian, but I have attempted to become one.
It just fit better after the Depression and all.
Exactly.
Know,
it's all eye candy. It's all eye candy.
Speaking of candy, we have Laura Secord in our show as well.
Name dropping. This is what's going to cost me the show.
There's a great scene where a marathon is being run, and the sportscaster is stopping runners during the marathon to interview them, and one of them is Laura Secord, and she's talking about everything that's going on. So
does the play address why I can no longer get a triple scoop at Brunswick Square anymore? Does it address that?
It doesn't. Though I thought you stuck to Dairy Queen.
I'm not going to bring the Queen into this, as I do not want to disrespect her. My base is very loyal royals, so I cannot do that.
I think it's great that interaction's all over this Fringe Festival.
We are.
Between the production that you were staging with the students, Sanctuary Theater is also a venue at the Fringe Festival.
Yep.
I think it's wonderful that in a festival that's so traditionally well known for the diversity of theater and oftentimes more of the perhaps uncensored end of things, that it's something that... That is also able to include youth theater and different kinds of theatrical approaches coming from that end of things. There's one other youth theater group.
There is
coming
Guelph, Ontario, and they're doing Stella Luna. And actually, I've made arrangements for them to come in. I'm teaching.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah.
I'm teaching an acting intensive this week and next week.
Wonderful.
And it coincides with the Fringe, so it's going to be great for these kids. Some of them are performers, but a lot of them are just kids from the city who are doing this intensive. But they're excited because they know there's going to be theater people from all over Canada in their space. And so we've got the group from Guelph who are young performers as well. They're going to come and hang out and talk shop before they do their show at the Sanctuary. And then we had Lee come in this week as well, and she was talking about her Fringe show and her experience in professional theater all over Canada. So it's really great for the kids, and it's great for our space too to have it filled.
Yeah, do you expect any theatrical space showdowns, sort of gangland, sort of this is our territory, back away, or we will pat a beret on your face or something like that?
We're a bit worried about the guys from the Improv Corporation.
Juveniles.
They do have young children, and
juveniles. They are young children. Let's face it.
They're no goodniks.
I've also heard that they will perhaps have artists like Tomato Tomato. They will also have Mike Bigger. They will also have artists from all over the St. John area.
Do they have any artists from the Kingston Peninsula?
None that I will admit to. You probably know them with your name dropping.
I will say I have to admit I agree with you here, Mr. Blizzard, surprisingly enough. When I think of improv theater, it makes me really, really long for mime.
What are your thoughts on mime, Mr. Blizzard?
Can you perform
some mime for us right now, Mr. Blizzard?
I will talk against the wind for Ken Bolton. I know that he's a pro Mel supporter, which is probably why he's being set so hard on me right now.
I feel
he's trying to pin me for Mel is what's going on.
I feel a bit like I'm stuck in a box right now.
That's because I take up a large amount of room. I've told you that already, Kate. I take up a large amount of room in any room I'm in.
Yeah. And a huge amount of air.
A large body has two large lungs. I think we're going to agree on that. And if anything, war has taught us to come together, to bring it together. Just like we did in the War of 1812, which happened in 1864.
Except for the children.
Don't bring the children to that. Don't bring the children to a war.
Someone must.
Why don't they just take them to the peace conference of 1813? It was a better event for kids.
Perhaps it lasted 2 years. The war was still going on in
1813. The whole show? Your whole show lasts 2 years?
Yeah. It's a long show.
I thought there was a 60-minute limitation on Fringe performances.
There's a lot of marching.
I heard there was some very heavy competition for the role of the Atlantic Ocean. I heard there were a lot of backstabbing going on among the performers trying to get that role. That's what I've heard through the grapevine.
That's actually Kaylin McDonald, and actually the reason why I'm here and not Mike and the actors is
I hear to play the role, he actually became the Atlantic Ocean for a year.
She did. She originated
that's what
the
I meant.
Role
it's
last
so
year.
Good. You believe it's a male ocean, but I know it's performed by a female, which is amazing.
Well, they're all rehearsing right now.
I'm all
so
about
that's
equality.
Why they're not here. Yeah.
All right. Ken, let me ask you something. Do you have any previous Fringe experience?
I have a number of friends who are on the Fringe circuit all the time, but this is the first time I've actually had the opportunity to be in a Fringe show myself. I've wanted to do it for years, but with day jobs and things like that, wasn't able to. And timing was just perfect. We decided we wanted to do something for the first Fringe thing. We came up with an idea that started with a book of poetry from 1915.
That was actually written in 1923.
Yes, you would
glamorize
know.
Glamorized for the 50. I'm just saying, just history-wise.
I could have sworn that he asked me a question.
That's right. I'm just clarifying.
This was the original, the origin of the idea. And then, of course, Lee came up with a beautiful metaphor of a table setting as basically the metaphor for order as opposed to love, which may be the metaphor for chaos. Yeah. And it grew from there. But there are still elements of the First World War poet Rupert Brooke, who was very famous. Mr. Belizer has probably not.
I was pausing because I remember
in my third campaign, we were looking a lot at theater history because we really wanted to present a more theatrical campaign. I remember seeing the writings on placemats as order. If I recall, love is actually the coffee setting on the table. Order is the place setting on the table, and the salt and pepper are like the yin and yang. The whole table is meaning. That's what Ken's getting at, and I like it.
That's perfect.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and I certainly wouldn't have tried.
There.
It's not my metaphor. It's his metaphor.
And he's pinned.
Well, I'm gonna ask Kate for a parting thought. You also have a good amount of experience with Fringe Theater, or some experience.
Well, Mike...
Oh, okay.
Mike's done Fringe shows. He actually... the one I remember in Halifax years ago, the Atlantic Fringe Festival... It was about serial killers. So he's gone full circle
now.
The
kids were all invited to that one.
There were no kids in that one, no. But living in Halifax, all of our friends were involved in the Atlantic Fringe Festival, and a lot of our friends are still doing the Fringe circuit across Canada and going off to Scotland and places like that. It's really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and as someone who's involved in a number of sort of layers of the local theater community, mm-hmm. from youth theater on up, and who is... very experienced in theater herself, maybe as a parting thought for our listeners, what is the importance of bringing something like this to St. John, either to the community or even just to the theater community? Let us go with a word on that.
It brings a great energy to the community, and it brings really accessible theater to the community, and inexpensive theater. The tickets are only $10, which is incredible. And there really is something for everybody, and it's like having a music festival. You walk around uptown, there's musicians, there's people around, there's a really cool energy in the city, and anybody can go see these things. And there's a great show by Ken that Kim was talking about, great show by Improv Corporation, even though Mr. Blizzard thinks...
Substandard at best.
Yeah. And there's a great show by Interaction.
I'm looking forward to it a lot, because you always learn from other companies and from other artists.
Exactly,
and we're very fortunate in that right after we finish here, we're going over to Charlottetown for the Island Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
And we'll have a whole bunch of other experiences. Yeah. So it's great. It's great for audiences who may never have seen theater before. Right. They can pick and choose. It's like a smorgasbord. They don't have to pig out on any one particular genre. They can try a bit of this and a bit of that.
Exactly. And for as theater artists living in St. John, we all know each other well, and we're all familiar with our work, but being in an artistic field and creating can be very insular, and so to have all of these other people coming that we can share with grab a coffee and talk shop and network, it's wonderful as well, so that when they all come back next year, we'll all have stories to share.
Because we'll all be looking forward to next year by the time this year is over.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all of you for being able to come in today. If any listeners would like to learn more about the Fundy Fringe Festival, you can visit fundyfringefestival.com online. You can email info@fundyfringefestival.com. And what's the address of the St. John Theatre Company building on Princess? Because that's the hub of the Fringe Festival. Mr. Blizzard, I know
I believe it's located directly at Princess Street, located on Princess, on the best part of Princess Street.
The best part of Princess? You don't know
frankly,
yet.
My second platform was to remove the numbers on Princess Street so that all buildings would be considered equal.
It's on the south side between Charlotte Street and Germain.
Yes.
Or that.
Mr. Mayor, I think you need a geography
lesson. Thank you for calling me Mr. Mayor. Geography is really stylized. Most geography is stylized.
Well, it's geography is subjective, right?
It is.
Well, very good. On Princess Street, just off the corner of Charlotte and Germain, you can head in there and get all the information you need. And it's going to be a hub. It's going to be a beehive of activity the entire week. And I hope everyone considers going to as many shows as possible. You can get a Fundy Fringe pass for $50. You can see 8 shows, which is did I say that correctly?
You will be stung with entertainment, and you will swell with delight and need to recover for 3 days afterwards.
And on those,
that's true.
On those seminal words from Mr. Blizzard, thank you, Ken Bolton from Silk Purse Atlantic Theater for joining us. Thank you, Kate Elman Wilcott from Interaction Theater for joining us. And Mr. Izzy Blizzard, I wish you all the best in
your mayoral
campaign. Vote
for Izzy. Do not go to see the Improvisation Corporation shows.
This is Judd Crandall signing off for the final episode of Fringe Power on Local 107.3 FM. Here's the Kingpins to take us out with a number called I Told You Not to Cry.